Welcome to The Thriving Christian Artist, the podcast where we hope you connect with God to bust through the roadblocks that have held you back for years, create the work you love, and really live the life you know God created you to live as an artist in His kingdom. I'm Matt Tama, your host. Let's get started. Well, hey there, my friend, and welcome to another episode of The Thriving Christian Artist podcast. I'm really, really glad you're here. And listen, this is kind of a treat. This is a twofer. You're like, what are you talking about? Well, it's not really two for one, but it's actually the second time that I've had my great friend, Mark DeJesus, on the podcast. You know, I was trying to think, I was like, is there anybody else that I've actually had on the podcast twice, and especially in 1 year? But listen, Mark DeJesus, if there was anybody that's going to be on the podcast twice, it's Mark. He is an awesome guy. 25 years of loving people, helping people walk into wholeness and healing in their life. And he loves creative people. He's one himself. He's a writer. He's a creative, and he loves what we're doing at Matt Tommy Mentoring and all the stuff that we do with artists and here on the podcast. And he's got a brand new book out this coming out mid-November called The Heart Healing Journey, Awaken, Heal, and Transform Your Life. And we're going to be diving deep today into some really, really great issues around what it means to walk a healing journey, not just as a one-time thing, but really as a lifestyle. How do we walk as healed and whole people, walking in the fullness of what God's got for us? How do we recognize when maybe there's a deeper issue in our life that keeps resurfacing in multiple different ways? How can we begin to gain victory over those things and begin to create patterns in our life that really cultivate the presence of God and the kingdom of God in our life? Because I don't know about you, but that's what I want. I want to see the kingdom of God showing up. I want to enjoy the life that God's given me. I want to create to the fullness, and I want to be a conduit of that transformation in my life. And just like you, I don't want anything. I don't want any sin. I don't want any woundedness. I don't want any brokenness. I don't want any lies or wrong mindsets. I don't want any of that getting in the way of what God's got for my life. And so you're going to really, really love this interview with my friend Mark DeJesus. And then there's also, if you want to find out more about him, there's a couple of different ways. Number one, you can grab his book. All right. The link is in the show notes right now. You can grab it on Amazon, either in audiobook, Kindle, or in print. The other way is even better. Mark is going to be one of the featured speakers at the Thriving Christian Artist Conference coming up March 2020. Listen, if you've not gotten your ticket yet, you need to do that. This event is going to sell out very quickly. All right. We are seeing people register every day for this, and we've only got 500 spots. So I want to make sure that you get a spot. But listen, if you're looking for a weekend that is not just focused on the spiritual side of things, but you know, all the promise of what God has for you with no practical instruction about how to walk in that. And if you're not looking for a weekend that's all marketing, but that, you know, doesn't have anything to do with your spiritual life and your relationship with God, or you're looking for a weekend that's not just how to grow as an artist, but and doesn't give any thought to how to actually sell your business or what Jesus has to do with that in the middle of that. Listen, if you're looking for a weekend that addresses your art life, your spiritual life, your business life, your marketing life, how to develop a brand, how to build your social media, you know, I don't want to say empire, but maybe how to build your social media influence. All right. And gather people to the thing that God has called you to. All right. If you're looking for all of that and to do that in the context of other artists who are doing the same thing, who love Jesus, want to grow their art business or ministry, and who are all the way from a hobbyist who's never done anything like that before, all the way to people that have been walking in this for a number of years and everywhere in between. Listen, you want to be at the Thriving Christian Artist Conference. So make sure you click the link down below. You're going to hear speakers like Mark DeJesus and tons of others, some of the best people that I know in all of those areas that are really, really going to be a blessing in your life. All right, so be sure to do that right now. Now, of course, before we get started, you know I love, love, love to give a shout out to my listeners. And today's review and just a little note that somebody's left me here on Stitcher is from Jackie at 31. And Jackie says, The 5-Minute Mentor, Naturally Supernatural. She was excited. She said, Matt, this is a great podcast. This was so natural when talking to our non-Christian friends. We tend to talk Christianese. It is so important to have friendship evangelism so they can connect with us first as people. Far more important to invest in relationships with them than to keep preaching to them where they won't respond. Our lives and our character to them speak volume. I really, really, really enjoyed this. Of course, she's talking about one of my episodes of the 5-Minute Mentor that comes out every Friday, where I talked about this dynamic of living a naturally supernatural life. You can check that out if you've not seen that before. But Jackie, thanks a lot. I love hearing that the podcast and all the teaching that I put out every week is really an encouragement to you. There's nothing that brings me greater joy than to hear that what we're doing is a blessing in your life. So thank you so much. All right. Well, listen, I'm going to get out of the way. You need to get your pen and paper, and you need to get a good cup of coffee or something and sit and listen and absorb, because this interview with Mark DeJesus is going to knock your socks off. It's going to be a huge blessing. And I believe God's got some incredible things for you on the other side of this, as you start to take the things that we're talking about and actually put them in to your life and start using them. All right. So here's my friend, Mark DeJesus. Well, hey, everybody, I'm so glad that you're with me on the podcast today. Listen, there are not many people that I have on the podcast multiple times. I'm just going to say that because my friend Mark DeJesus, Mark, you're sitting in the twofer seat. This is your second time on the podcast. Welcome, man. I'm so glad you're here.
That's fantastic. I've moved up into a new level of status that I am thrilled to have. I will wear that jacket.
Take notice.
I will wear that jacket with pride.
That's right. Well, I always love talking to you. And we just, as we said before we got on the call, both really resonate with healing the heart and helping people walk in the fullness of who God's called them to be. And not only do you have a new book coming out, I wanted to definitely talk about, but also remind people you're going to be with us at our Thriving Christian Artist Conference coming up in March 2020. And I just wanted to give people another taste of what you carry in the kingdom, because it's really, really special. It's not only helping so many people, it's definitely helped my life personally. And I always love to recommend folks and that I'm receiving from. And you're definitely one of those people in my life. So thank you for being you.
Thank you. And I'd say in many ways, every time I have conversation with you, I feel like it just flows naturally. It's so easy in our conversation. There's a unity in things that we both value.
Yeah.
And I walk away from our conversations always wanting to just grow deeper in the journey that God has for me. So I love it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So your new book is all about healing the heart. And when I saw that, I was like, oh my gosh, more connection. Because as you know, my first book was Unlocking the Heart of the Artist. It was kind of this struggle for me to kind of write down for other creatives what it means to walk through the healing of a heart. And, you know, somebody, maybe this is a place to start. Somebody told me one time in regards to healing, you know, Matt, for most people, it's a mile in the woods. And for most people in their healing journey, it can be a mile out of the woods. It takes a long time for most of us to walk into bad patterns, walk into bad habits, thought patterns, that sort of thing, to embrace a life that's unhealthy and not aligned with the kingdom. And there is a journey out of that that the Lord is with us in the process of. But that's a journey that you're really, really well-versed in helping people walk through. So talk about why people even need to have their heart healed. Because some people would say, well, hey, I'm saved. I'm a new creation. Everything's been made new. You know, everything's great. And yet we all know that on the surface, that might sound great, but in reality, that's not how the kingdom works. Right.
So, right. Well, you said it very well. The goal of this book, which is called The Heart Healing Journey, is to encourage people of the importance of getting on this journey of living from the heart and allowing God to continually work on layers of our heart that need attention, that need his nature. Sometimes we look at healing of the heart as something that is for people that are very overtly broken. All right.
Right.
It's that guy or that lady, or yeah, they're broken, but me, you know, I'm okay. Or if we see it in like a crisis moment, you know, right. I'm having panic attacks, or I'm so depressed, or I'm having terrible thoughts, or my marriage is breaking down, or I'm addicted to something. Like, okay, I need, but it's like very crisis. I need like my heart healed. I need it fixed. Like right. Fix this thing and let's move on. And it's like, no, when you engage the heart healing journey, you realize it's a continual thing. It's a good thing. And there's new layers that open up. It's an adventure. Yeah. It's not this drudgery of like you're getting your teeth pulled out every time. Although there are times where it's challenging. It can be, it can be painful, but you bring out, Matt, a great point in that there's a lot of initial resistance. Mm-hmm. That's that. And we can put Christian terms over it. You know, I'm a new creation, so I'm good. Everything's right. fine. Right. And we don't take in the big picture of what God's doing. We received the kingdom of God, but it takes a lifetime to come into full agreement and really learn yeah. what it means to align our whole being with what God has already done in Christ Jesus. So
yeah.
Jesus had this resistance a lot with the religious people of his day. It was, they were content with like kind of heady theological boxes that they lived in. And we read about the Pharisees and Sadducees and we, you know, we kind of like, yeah, those Pharisees. But we fall into those same traps because we there's a great deal of resistance. And Jesus' message was always to bring down to the heart level,
yeah.
not necessarily like the cerebral mind, like give me the 10 steps, the three things, quick kind of society that we live in now. He wants to get more to the root system, get to the heart. When we get there, it's like, oh, now we're having real relationship. Now we're getting somewhere. So my desire is to, one, is to exhort people, stop and realize your heart needs continual working and attention.
Mm.
And two, it doesn't need to be super complex. When I say that, I don't mean that it needs to be easy, but most of the things that our heart needs are really simple, foundational things that we need to process out.
Right. You know, and you said the word fix my heart versus heal my heart. Being from the South and being from a family of, you know, kind of people that hodgepodge things together, and I'm not naming my dad here, but I'm naming my dad. The image of duct tape, you know, kind of came to my mind. And I think a lot of us, I know me, because we didn't know how, or maybe we were nervous about what it looked like, we spent a lot of years trying to duct tape things together. That is, I'm not going to change the fundamental process of how I interact with the Lord, process life, you know, all of that, deal with these inner issues that are going on. I'm just going to try to get it fixed enough so that it doesn't impede the way I want to live my life. And the thing that I see, just like you're saying in the Gospels, the thing I see with Paul exhorting us to renew our mind and experience transformation is that real healing the heart, is not just about a fix, but it's a fundamental transformation. And that's a really big delineation, I think, to make and to put those two things to the side. Do you just want to fix this so you can get on with things, or are you willing to really go through a transformative process where from the inside out, you can really be who God's called you to be?
So true. You know, as a culture, we tend to focus on symptoms a lot, meaning that, okay, I've got this, let's say I got this anxiety issue, and our goal is fix that, make the symptom go away so that then I can go back to my life as usual.
Right.
And there's two flaws there. One is that don't focus on the symptom. The symptom is speaking to something deeper in the heart right. that needs addressing. And two, when God works on us in that foundational way, we're entering into a new way of doing life. It isn't like, I want to get rid of this anxiety so I can go back to the old way of living. It's like, no, I'm going to deal with what's underneath in the root system of this. And I'm now going to go into a whole new way of living. And right. that's the beauty of the invitation that's available, is we get so locked into obsessing over the symptoms of our life that we don't like or that are impeding us. And God's call is I want to go deeper to the root system to see what's the why, what's really going on. And they're, like you said, it's moving from the duct tape. I use the construction analogy. We want to patch the wall, but really the foundation needs to be addressed. And we look at that and go, oh, I got to go all the way back. But in the kingdom of God, going backwards is actually moving forwards.
That's right.
You know, Jesus said to a really productive, like top shelf church in the Church of Ephesus, you guys are doing amazing things, but I've got something against you. You've left your first love. And there is a great illustration of bringing out great stuff happening, but as a foundational problem. So he says, repent, which is meaning of a turning, and go back to the first works. There's some things in the first works that, in the first understandings that you left behind. And we typically do that, right? It's like you need to understand the love of God. Oh, yeah, God loves me. Oh, yeah. You know, forgive. Oh, grace. All that stuff. It's like anytime you find yourself feeling that you, quote, already know something,
right.
It's a sign you don't know nothing.
Exactly.
And so that's been my journey, and the journey of a lot of people I'm helping is, hey, I want to invite you into a safe but loving journey of simplifying this. Let's bring things down to a root system level. And they usually come down to, what is it, you know, how do we receive love? What does love look like? Do we understand really the grace of God towards us? How do we see ourselves and others? And just getting to those simple things. And when you work on that root system, it now branches out into every aspect of your life.
Right.
So I'm excited to be able to encourage people in that, but not in a heady way, in just a simple heart-to-heart kind of way that gives them some handles that they can begin processing in their journey.
So as we're looking at that process of healing, maybe it is a symptom or a crisis moment that calls people to that, or maybe it's just for some people it can just be a general malaise of like, I do not feel like myself, or there's a hunger maybe inside. I know there's more, but I can't get beyond this. Once people start then to go down that journey, you know, and obviously you just mentioned the repentance part of turn, go back, look at some of those, you know, things that are originally messing you up. You know, what does that process look like? You know, because I know for everybody it's different. So for some people it may take 2 months, others 2 years. You know, what can people expect along that journey? Because I think, you know, what did somebody say one time? Fear is false expectations appearing real. Sometimes the thought of what healing your heart looks like or could involve can even be scary in itself. So maybe shed some light on some specific things that process might include.
Absolutely. Everything you're sharing is some legitimate things that people have to navigate through. But I think the first thing, once somebody has like an awareness that, all right, I need to move more into a heart connected journey. And there's signs that we're not heart connected to God and in our walk in relationships, you know, we're operating at light speed. There's just this kind of irritability, go, you know, type A's
can relate. Performance orientation. Yeah.
Correct. Mm-hmm. But there's a deep inner lack of fulfillment at the end of the day. There's an emptiness, there's a loneliness, and there's all the symptomatic things that we have. I find the first round is recognizing I have need. You know, Jesus said, I've come to bring gospel, the good news to the poor. And we kind of go, oh, yeah, those like, you know, people that are like poor financially, those people.
Other people, right?
Right. And really, it's poor is really a recognition. Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit. It's just an inner awareness of your need of him and need for that deeper work. It's not a beating yourself up. It's just a true humility of, I've never arrived. There's more that I need, and I posture myself in humility. And that opens up the heavens like nothing else, because anything else creates a prideful resistance. But then what I find I've had to do over and over again is I've got to slow myself down. In our modern culture, we move at a buzz that can override the signals of the heart, because they're often very subtle. They don't necessarily scream. They're just like the dashboard lights. You know, your dashboard lights in the car, they don't necessarily go meh, meh, there's just a little orange light. And you can very easily go, I'm just too busy driving. I don't have time to look at that, right? And most of us do that. So I find the best thing is if I can just humble myself and recognize, all right, I got stuff. I got issues. I got things. We all do. And it's okay. And two, let me just bring the RPMs down a little bit to allow God to speak to the things he's bringing to the surface and get more real and honest with him. Because many of our coping mechanisms they're not all evil, but they can cause us to avoid the slowing down and the facing the things that God wants to face with us. It's not like he's sticking our face in it. He's not coming in and condemning us, but he does want to have a real relationship. You know, he says the famous verse, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone opens the door, I will come in. And he's not saying I'm going to come in and I'm going to really let you know all the stuff you're doing wrong. He's saying, I want to come in. I'm going to have a meal with you.
Right.
And that verse was written to a believing church. We use it as like an invitation for salvation. And really he's talking to believers and going, I just want to have meals with you. Can we get back to the simplicity? And so that in every stage of my life, any heart healing work God does, he gets me back to the fundamentals, back to the simple, practical, everyday things that's easy to skip over. And so I find slowing myself down and paying attention to what comes up. You know, sometimes it may be just 10 minutes of just going for a walk, slowing down things and just kind of thinking for a moment, how are things going? How's my heart? And I think that's it's a litmus test. If you sit down with someone and you go, so how's your heart? Right. They will often go to how work is going.
Right.
And the like shallow end, money's good. Yeah. Everything's good. You know, things are good. And we don't have a compass of going, here's what I sense God's doing right now in my life. Here's what he's showing here. Cause I'm tuned to that.
We were just talking about that this weekend at our Gathering of Artisans conference, as we were recording this, that was last weekend. And I was laughing about one of my spiritual parents, Pat Banks. When I met her 20 years ago, they've been in healing ministry for so long. And she's got those eyes that when she looks at you, she's like, how are you really doing? You know, and you're just like, I don't know. I just, you know, it just breaks. But we need those people in our life, right? You know, that will ask us those questions. I think that's why community is so important, you know, in that. I'm reminded of something I was sharing this past weekend about mindset. And I've just learned in my life that as all of us cope, I guess, with life the best way we know how, before we know how the kingdom works. It's almost like these belief systems, these mindsets, these things that we think are normal, or at least they're our normal, instead of enabling us to live the life that God's called us to live, it literally builds a fence around our heart so that the thing that we think, you know, is allowing us to be free and allowing us to live our best life is literally keeping out the blessing of God, the flow of God, the favor of God in our life. And as people begin to walk through the healing journey and their heart begins to get unlocked, I just got an email today. I was sharing it with you before. This guy was in the mentoring program. He's like, oh my gosh, I'm doing all this heart and mind work, Matt, that you talk about. And all of a sudden my finances are opening up. Opportunities are starting to open up. And I'm like, well, listen, God didn't just get in a good mood. You know, this is why this process is so key, because it begins to break down the barriers, the unnecessary barriers that we all put out and put up in our life because we don't understand any other better way of living. And talk a little bit about, I guess, just the benefits of, you know, when people do start to really live out of this healthy posture as opposed to one that's really protected and performance oriented and hiding oriented.
Well, the thing is that I find is there's a great deal of relief that I feel when I enter into that kind of level of, I carry a lot less baggage. Yeah. I'm more free to be myself, but there's this fear and shame level that we often have to get past. And it's what Adam faced in the garden, right? God is approaching him and Adam is, you know, I was naked, so I hid. And he puts on the first recorded fig bikini, you know, and and he's or whatever that is.
That's
and,
he,
right. and he's hiding. And there's a picture there of what we constantly do. God is near, or intimacy, or connection. And we all have our like coveralls that we put on that are keeping us from just entering and engaging him. And God in that moment, he knew Adam had messed things up. He knew that there was a severe breach. Your sin was being unleashed into the planet, right? But God still pursued him. And there is a layer of fear. Adam says, I was afraid and I hid. You know, there's the fear, there's the shame.
Right.
And we put on all these things to hide. And the thought of engaging a heart healing journey is I'm going to be shamed, ridiculed. I'm going to be put in the spotlight. So Adam says this, and God doesn't go, yeah, you know, darn right. Look at what you did. You know, because that's
it's about
that's
time, what, right?
Right. Because that's that would be like many times our response. Right. God says, who told you this?
Mm.
He's already going into his belief system. And so I think there's such a relief that we could find in the rest of having a real relationship with God and with people. It's like, I can just be myself now. I don't have to carry all that extra stuff. And the thing though, is that you said it very well. We have these belief systems and they're stacked up and there's layers. And some of them, like they sound right, but they've got like broken reinforcements to them. Mm. And we just add on. And what we need is we need safe conversations with people who truly love us to kind of look at that and go, wait, who told you that? Where did you get that? Because it may sound right. You got a couple verses on it, or you may have some good Christian cliches you said on it. And it sounds good, but really you don't want to be hurt. Right. Or really you don't want to step out of the boat and face your fear. Or you don't believe you have what it takes, or you think God's blessings are for somebody else. There's all kinds of things. And so I find that the biggest blessing is I don't have all these backpacks that I have to carry. I don't have these things that I have to put on all the time.
Right. Right.
You know, like when we get ready to go somewhere. There's always any man who's married knows this. My wife says, well, I got to get ready. And for me, getting ready, it's like a couple things, good to go. There's just more involved, right?
That's why we love them.
Right. So I feel like, oh, I'm just living more and more of my freedom, you know? But it's you know, I get it. And that's the woman's heart and loves to, you know, to feel beautiful. And there's, it's just different. But there are things that we add on that create all this work to show up in life, right?
Right.
And I had to do a lot of work to just show up in life. And the engaging the healing journey brought about a glorious relief that I get to be myself with my strengths and my weaknesses and my struggles. I can be in all of that. He's not condemning and shaming me. He's inviting me to walk with him. Right. And then as I walk with him, the things bubble to the surface that are God's way of going, yeah, you don't have to carry that.
Mm.
You don't have to carry that. Let's do an exchange, right? So what I want to do is I want to exhort people to get out of some of their denial that keeps them from it, but let them see this is a great journey. This is something where there's a great deal of relief and rest that you can find for yourself and to be who God's made you to be, and then watch what he manifests, like that email that came to you as that guy's coming into shedding off some of those beliefs or perspectives and let God minister to those areas of his heart. Now he's free to be himself. And then when you truly discover who you are, it makes room for what God's put in your life.
Right.
So I think that, the greatest fruit I see is that exhale of, wow, this is wonderful, that I don't have to carry that stuff anymore.
It's funny. I get questions from people sometimes that want to come to the mentoring program or come to a conference or whatever. And they're like, listen, I love everything you're doing in marketing and the way you teach artists to sell and all this kind of stuff. But all this heart and mind stuff, do I have to go through that? And I'm like, listen, if you will begin to align your heart, both from a healing perspective and in a faith perspective, with what God wants to do, the thing that you've been looking for and the thing that you've been trying to make happen on your own for so long, build an art career, you know, build an art business, blah, 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 blah. All of that begins to come in the package, I believe, of walking in the fullness of the kingdom. And that's the beautiful thing, I think, is that healing and wholeness unlocks all the benefits of walking in the beauty of the kingdom. You know, for artists especially, and maybe we can just zero in on this for a second, you know, artists are many times more introspective, more intuitive, more feeling, sensing oriented. And if you're out there right now, you know, male, female, young, older, retired, in the prime of your life, whatever, if you are stuck or running up against this feeling of, I just can't get over these issues, realize that is having a major effect on your creative expression, because your creative expression comes out of who you are. It's not just something that you do. And I know I've seen that in my own life, when as I began to experience new layers and deeper levels of healing and wholeness, it manifests itself not only in the revelation God gives me as a teacher, but also the creative expression that I'm able to release both in worship, in my visual art, in my writing. And that's really beautiful, because again, the expression is the benefit of the healing. It's not the thing that we're going after. I'm not trying to get healed because I want to write better music, you know, mm-hmm. or because I want to make better art, but that is the natural, you know, flow and natural result of healing.
Absolutely. And I think that at every stage, as I've allowed God to do that, energy improves. There's more focus that I can bring. I'm paying attention to what I need to pay attention to. Yeah. I'm not as easily distracted by things that I don't need to think about. And people that have sensitive hearts, that are very creative, they can tend to like act almost as like a filter does in our duct work, where it just kind of picks up on a lot of different things. You pick up on stuff that's not even yours. It's like other people's junk. But there's a sensitivity you have there. It's wonderful. And I would never encourage anyone to just shut that down, but it needs groundedness in the love of God, in what he says about you, because living out of identity is everything. And that's one of the foundational things God keeps bringing me back to at each stage of my life, is who am I? And yeah. I'm at a stage where that it's exciting in what I've discovered and who I am, but I still have years and decades of new layers of discovering who am I really? Yeah. And what does that unique thumbprint look like? Because then, I mean, as you really understand who you are, what you actually do in your creative outflows, you know, there's less like doing things to get people's approval. There's less, you know, performance-oriented, perfectionism, all that pressure. And that's that layer of masks that we got to put on that I was talking about earlier, you know, that you don't have to. Now I get clearer on what it is. So I find myself getting more clear on my no, like, yeah, that's not me. Even though there could be a pull or a demand, or, hey, you know, something that's brought to me that says, hey, why don't you do this? And it's like, nah, this is kind of who more I am. And I don't mean that in like a rude way, but more of flowing in the thumbprint that God's given to me. And then I'm less comparative to others. Because boy, isn't that the trap?
Hello.
It's like, oh, look at their beautiful Instagram world, or look at their, you know, as though that's
if real. Life were only as beautiful all the time as our Instagram world, right?
Totally.
I love it.
And that comparison trap just totally robs us. So then I get to celebrate how God's designed me.
Right.
And I rejoice. Strengths, weaknesses, whole package, I get to rejoice in that, because I'm learning. And again, it all goes back to, this is a journey. Stop looking at it as a destination. Look at it as the roads out there. All right, buckle up. Let's go on an adventure.
You know, one of the things I find that people, and not just artists, although I think artists particularly deal with this because of innate sensitivities that God designs us with. One of the things I find is that most people and most Christians are not used to living their life emotionally, spiritually, relationally on purpose. they kind of live on autopilot, reacting to things, letting things happen to them, trying to figure out how to get over this thing that happens. And you talk about in the book about being able to live sensitively, not in a domineering way, but at the same time, living powerfully. And I would maybe say living purposefully. So talk about that dynamic, because I think that they're not mutually exclusive. There's this leaning into the voice of the Lord and sensitivity to Him. And at the same time, like you're saying, being able to live and walk powerfully in who you are, not domineering people, but being confident in what God's doing in your life and who you are, right?
Totally. That was an adventure that I had to really tune into, because growing up, there was a lot of sensitivities that I carried. And I was very, very sensitive to the promptings I felt of the Holy Spirit. I was very like, I just want your heart. And I loved worship, loved connecting to God in that way. But man, I was open season for anxiety. I was open season for depression. I was open season for just emotional instability, obsessing about things I didn't need to even worry or even entertain, but they were there. And I needed fathering. I needed mothering. I needed a nurturing, mentoring voice in my life, because growing up, my parents, they didn't have references for how to engage in these kind of aspects. Right. And they even said this, you know, to their credit, I don't even know if they knew what this meant when they said it, but they said, sometimes, Mark, we don't know what to do with you. You have these creative avenues.
You're just different. We don't know how to do this.
Right. They're like, we don't know what to do with you. And it's, there's certain things that they weren't, you know, that they weren't given in their generations of how to, you know, you just go back to work. That's how they solved everything.
Exactly. Right.
That's how they dealt with everything. Just head go down, to work tomorrow. On, right? Exactly. Meanwhile, they're hauling these trucks of baggage with them. Yes. And they're like, I don't know why I'm so exhausted. Right.
Right.
But realizing, the template that I use is watching Jesus, but also seeing the life of David, because David was a guy that could pen some of the most beautiful expressions to God, but man, he could also cut your head off in battle too.
Yeah.
So here we see a very beautiful picture of masculine sensitivity, where he's able to engage in the fight, but also engage in the tears. He's the guy who writes, God, where are you? And then in that, he discovers, wow, he is here. And by the end of the psalm, you see the victorious, you know, writings that he writes, but he starts off with honest expression. So I felt that the sensitivities for me moved into hypersensitivity, where I became, it's like I had this apprehensive radar that I didn't need to have. And so I needed mentoring in the Father's love, in allowing nurture to heal my heart in certain areas, and ground that. So as I'm growing in God, I'm using that sensitivity now for His glory, as I'm allowing Him to show me who I really am. And so I find that sensitivity often needs a mentoring voice. It needs someone who can give you feedback and help you to ground that. I like the word grounded. It speaks of a tree's root system. I don't want to just eliminate it. I want to ground my root system so that I'm not taken out by every wind that comes my way, which in many times I would be. I need to learn what it means to stabilize that. And now the fruit of that is I'm more sensitive when I need to be.
Yeah.
And then there's all these things that I go, no, I don't have to take that in. I don't, maybe it's somebody else's junk, or maybe it's, maybe I'm watching the news and that's stuff in the world that, you know, it's not something God's called me to pray about or to get, you know, deep in. Here's my sphere. Here's what God's put in front of me. And that's what I have the energy for. And that's where the grace will be.
Yeah. No, I think for me, knowing who you are, knowing what season you're in, knowing what God's called you to, it gives you such a beautiful grid to be able to say, you know, I'd love to do that, but that's not for me right now. and not in, like you say, not in an ugly way, but just in a way that really draws a line. And I think about it, you know, I always tell people, I'm like, you know, is this like in golf, is this advancing the ball, or is this putting me in the, you know, sand traps? I want to do things in my life that advance the ball. I want to do things that move the needle, that are moving me closer to who God's called me to be and designed me to be, and the assignment that's on my life, because that is where the grace is. And any other way that I'm trying to live, any of us, is one that we got to try to make it happen ourselves. And I don't want to do that anymore.
Right. Me neither. I like the way that you're communicating this, because it's very true and in line to what I've discovered too. And I remember, and I write about this in the book, there was a season in my life where I had started the ministry work of transformational ministry. I'd left a formal pastoral role. And as I started it, I was so excited, filled with faith. Well, what happened is we jumped deep into the wilderness, you know, like money was tight, all these things. And I had to go get other work. I had to go work. I worked a number of construction jobs.
Right.
And man, I'm frustrated. I'm like, this isn't what I bargained for. This isn't, I want to go, you know, change hearts and turn lives around. Right. And it was in that season that God began to show me, no, I want to show you who you really, really are. I know you've gotten a taste of it, that you got a taste that caused you to jump out and put everything on the line. But now I really want to show you. You know, God did this with Jesus, where he affirms his identity. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Comes out of that baptism. Where does he go? The wilderness. So what God puts in you then gets tested. Yeah. We tend to focus on where we're going, right? We want to focus on that thing, or why isn't this thing happening? And I find that if we tune into identity, this is an identity learning. Where do I get my validation from? Where do I truly feel loved? Do I really know who I am? And if you notice, Satan's temptations were all, if you are the Son of God.
That's right.
If you are the Son of God.
Right.
If you are who you say you are, then come on, buddy. And so that's what happened to me, is all of what I based myself on who I was and how I felt loved by God, or how I felt significant in the world, was all literally getting just shattered to the ground, because it could not stand under the weight of that season.
Right.
And so for many people, God will go, let's just get this thing simplified down so that you really learn the simplicity of being my loved child and knowing what that means, and living out of a confidence of that. And sometimes it takes those wilderness experience, or sometimes it takes, and you mentioned this word stuck, where somebody, if they feel stuck,
right?
My encouragement to them is, okay, God's not against you. He's not like, you know, putting his arm against your head. Step back and go, how can I learn the simplicity of what it means to really know who I am in Christ as a child of Father God? Where can I revisit where I get my need to be loved, my sense of significance or belonging, or where, at the end of the day, what makes you feel fulfilled? Is it all the stuff you did? Is it all the accomplishments? Or is it with or without that?
Yeah.
I'm loved.
That's right.
And so that then welcomes sometimes those trials or wilderness things you're going through. It's like, it's just a sharpening of who I am. And I'm going to shed off another layer of who I'm not, so that I don't need to carry that anymore.
So good. So good. Listen, I know as you're listening to the podcast out there, you're like, keep going. This is so rich. I'm like, we could talk all day about this. I know that some people are probably asking out there, okay, I'm in. I want the transformation. I want to go for this. What's the first step? I'm going to preempt you and say the first step is to go get Mark's book, which is available on Amazon. You can pick it up. Also, if you've not registered for the Thriving Christian Artist Conference, come to that, because Mark's going to be teaching in depth even more and be around all weekend to hang out and get to know folks. But Mark, for those that are like, okay, I'm in, the Holy Spirit's moving on my heart, I feel like this, I need to start walking in this transformation, what would you say is the first simple step that they need to take?
Well, I think that once you realize, okay, there's something to this, I want to jump in, is take some time. I'm not saying, you know, stop and have a sabbatical,
right?
But take some time to slow down off, a bit.
Right.
Right. It may need that for some, but maybe in the opening of the day, in the closing of your day, stop and bring the RPMs down and look at some of the symptomatic things and ask God, what are these things calling me to in my relationship with you? And I talk about this in one of the chapters, what is the theme, Father, that you're speaking to that I need to pay more attention to? And it's not this like deep, heady, like just, you know, like, whoa, kind of thing. It's usually a very simple statement. You need to know what it means to be loved. I want to teach you my rest. I want to teach you who you really are. Yeah. There's these, I want to heal your heart from that experience. You're in a season of right? Because those are the jewels that we often skip over and dismiss. And then when God speaks to them, we go, oh, that's great. And then the next day we go, what is it? And God's like, same thing. This is a,
we're still working over here. Right.
Yeah. I mean, I had a dramatic encounter in Romans 8 one day. And, you know, weeks later, I'm like, all right, God, what's the next thing? And I actually spent a couple years in just what he showed me there in Romans 8. And so those are the places where we need to hold on to those jewels of the theme that God's working. The heart healing journey opens that up. It's what is God speaking to in his love, his grace, and his kindness as a father, right, that he's going out. This is what I wanna journey with you on, so that when I pay attention to that, I'm going to have way more. I'm not swinging, you know, at shadows. I'm now having more fruitful movement. And that helps people get unstuck. It's like, oh, that's the thing that God's working on. It's simple thing. I've spent 3 years on just the subject of what does it mean to live in the grace of God? You know, I've spent 5 years just, what does it mean to really love myself the way that God loves me? Like, so this is, and that's not like a, 5 years. It was amazing. It was amazing because I take that theme and I put it on the backdrop of everything I'm facing, and I found it fit into every situation. Was a game changer.
Yeah.
So I want to keep it simple because that's where the big fruit is in those simple things that we often overlook, but he wants us to connect to him from our hearts.
Oh, it's so good. And all these things will be added unto you, right? It's as we pursue the kingdom, as we know who we are in him, that the things that you've been searching for your whole life begin to show up, and things that you didn't even know you wanted, the more than you can ask or imagine, they begin to flow as well. Mark, thank you so much for being on today and just sharing this journey with creatives all over the world. Listen, guys, if you want to find out more about Mark, you can go to markdehazes.com. Find out about all of his books. You can, of course, go to Amazon, grab them as well, and please check out his podcast. And then also, if you've not registered yet, be a part of the Thriving Christian Artist Conference. It's going to be incredible. Mark is one of 10 speakers, plus myself, that'll be sharing all weekend on everything from your art, healing, marketing, becoming a better artist, how to flow with the Holy Spirit, and everything that it takes to be the thriving artist that God's called you to be. It's going to be a great weekend. And Mark, thanks, man. I love you very much. I'm so glad that you're with me today on the podcast.
I love you too. And I'm so excited to be with you at that event. It's going to be really amazing. And I can't encourage people enough to plug into everything that you're doing. There's such great depth and great fruit that's coming out of it. So I'm just glad to know you and be a part of what God's doing.
Amen. Amen. Thanks so much.
Hey, thanks so much for spending a few minutes with me today on the podcast. Listen, I hope it's been a huge encouragement to you on your journey as an artist. Hey, also, before you leave, make sure to hit the subscribe button so you don't miss any of the other episodes of the Thriving Christian Artist Podcast. And also, be sure to connect with me on Facebook, Instagram, or at my website, which is matttommymentoring.com. Until next time, remember, you were created to thrive. Bye-bye.